Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 187 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her skin. Yep, we've got a terrific show with our wonderful Dr. Doris Day once again. But before we start, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, run on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode, because we want you to rate and review this show. We so look forward to hearing from you, so come on down. Give us your feedback. All right. It's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
Oh boy, oh boy. Raise your hand if you're just sort of sitting there looking in the mirror saying, what is with wrinkles already? What am I supposed to do with my skin? Help! Because the internet is just crowded with wild and crazy ideas. Well, of course, we have today our go-to dermatologist, Dr. Doris Day, who's a board-certified dermatologist who specializes in laser, cosmetic, and surgical dermatology in New York City. She's affiliated with Lenox Hill Hospital in New York and is a clinical associate professor of dermatology at the New York University Langone Medical Center. Oh, she's won many awards for her work in laser research, her teaching, and promoting the field of dermatology. And most importantly, she's author of Forget the Facelift, Turn Back the Clock with Dr. Day's Revolutionary Four-Step Program for Ageless Skin. Dr. Day, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on. It's such a thrill.
Oh boy, so much going on. I bet you just sit there and you open up the New York Times and look under that style section and see yet another wild and crazy article about what in the heck is going on with how to take care of your skin. I mean, you must rip your hair out with some of the wild assumptions and presumptions about things like, well, for instance, wrinkles. Bring it on down about wrinkles. Talk to us about, first of all, what are wrinkles?
Wrinkles are a change in the skin. But if we take it back to why they even matter, I, as a dermatologist focusing on aesthetics, I don't think that wrinkles are necessarily a bad thing or that they make someone look old or ugly or anything negative. I do think that there's grades of wrinkles. And when I look at a face and I see a line or a wrinkle, I don't judge it. I try to understand it. And I'll give you an example. When I see wrinkles in the forehead, forehead lines, I know that people come in. And I was just thinking about this morning about why do people not want forehead movement? Like, why is forehead movement considered to be such a bad thing? I don't even understand that. But when I have a lot of patients who come in and they say, oh, I've got these forehead wrinkles, these forehead lines, and they really bother me. To me, what that means is rather than trying to erase the wrinkles directly by using a neuromodulator like Dysport, Botox, or Xeomin, what I need to do is understand what creates that line and what can I do about it. So the forehead lines usually come because your brows start to drop and then your eyelids feel heavy. And when that happens, you engage the forehead muscle, you contract it, which pulls the brows up, but that action creates a forehead line. Can you see that as I say it? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So if you then take away the ability to make that muscle contraction and raise your brows, the forehead lines will be gone. Your forehead will be smooth because you can't make that expression that creates those wrinkles. But the price that you pay is that you also cannot lift your brows, and that makes your brows look low and flat. So for me, one of the trickiest areas to use a neuromodulator is the forehead. And instead of trying to take away directly the ability to make that expression, if I instead go the other way and say, well, they're doing it because their brows have dropped and they're trying to raise the brows, if I instead actually help them raise their brows, either with a neuromodulator in a different part of the face, like between the eyes and on the sides of the brows, those muscles are depressors. They're pulling down. If I weaken and relax those muscles, you get a natural lift. And if I also do something like Alt Therapy or Thermage, which are devices that help to stimulate collagen and actually can lift and tighten the skin, that will take away your desire to make that expression because your brows are going to feel up, your lids are not going to feel so heavy, and then you'll have the ability to move if you choose to, but you won't move as much, and you'll look much more natural, and you'll age much more beautifully. And, you know, people always come in and say, I want to look natural. And I think to myself, what does that mean to look natural? And I really think it means that they want to look genuine. They want to look authentic. And that to me also means that you have to have movement. So I never want to take away movement. I want to retrain muscles to move in a more youthful way so that you can age beautifully. And that's the finesse of it that comes from being a physician, being board certified, studying the art of aesthetics as well as the science. And in this day of social media and everyone having access to being able to put pictures out and information out, and there's really very little ways to know what's real and what's not real and what's Photoshopped, unfortunately, the public can get the wrong idea about what these treatments can really offer and what's realistic and even what's best down the road, you know, what's going to help you age more beautifully, not just look different in this moment.
I just love that. In the world of, you know, the Kardashians and everybody looking as though they're almost expressionless to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I love what you just said. What you said was, how do you define natural? What in the heck does that even look like anymore? Because as everyone's taking their selfies, as everyone's Photoshopping the heck out of, you know, whatever they post, my goodness, it's like we don't even understand what natural is anymore. It's almost like we're some kind of a painted palette and we don't move our face at all. God forbid we smile and back and forth. So I love the way you said that. There's one thing I discovered, which was kind of interesting, and that is when you sleep on one particular side of your face, don't you tend to have a few more wrinkles there than you would on the other side, a little asymmetry? Is that really true?
Everyone has asymmetry anyway. We're all a little bit asymmetric because the nerve innervation of your left and right and upper and lower face is different. And it's almost impossible to age completely symmetrically just because of that movement. And then as you get older, you see it more because the stronger side tends to engage sooner and become stronger, and the weaker side will lag more. The reason that you may, it's hard to know whether it's because you're lying on that side or that's your weaker side. It's something we're just not that clear on. But it does make sense that you might have more lines and wrinkles if you sleep in one position very long because you're creating tension in a very specific way. And when you asked in the beginning about what is a wrinkle, a wrinkle is a fold of skin where the skin at the bottom of that fold is weaker than the skin at the top of the fold. And so it becomes the path of least resistance. So every time there's any pressure, it's going to naturally give in that one spot because it's weaker. And then over time, the weaker gets weaker, and it just keeps on pushing to the point where it becomes almost like a scar, and it can get etched in. Now, there are some muscles like the ones around the mouth that are round muscle. So every time you close your mouth, you pucker a little bit and you can get even herniation of the muscle through the skin and you see those lines, like they look like barcodes even. And that comes from sun, which breaks down collagen, and repetitive motion. Sometimes it's the side you sleep on. You'll see that on the side of the face, the side of the nose, or the side of the eyes. And it also depends on how much sun exposure you have and the genetics that you have and also the products that you're using. So there are ways to address that. I think it's more important to sleep comfortably than to try to change your sleep position to not wrinkle because you heal so much when you sleep. And I know if I try to sleep on my back, I don't sleep as well as if I sleep on my face, which is my comfortable sleeping position. So it's not ideal, but then you try to get a softer pillow or a shape of a pillow that will help you minimize how much tension you put on that one spot. But most of us toss and turn in the night anyway. We don't usually sleep in one position for the entire night.
You know, the other day, when I was over at the gym, I saw, you know, I was listening to some women in the locker room, always the best place to pick up dirt and just sort of listen to people, you know how it is. And so there I was, and there were three women, and they were all laughing about the fact that they were exactly the same age. And I'm not kidding you, they couldn't have been more different in terms of the wrinkles on their skin. There was one woman who looked far older than, I believe they were around 60-ish, right? There's one who looked, oh my gosh, 15 years younger than that, and someone in between. So is there a genetic predisposition also toward the whole wrinkling thing? Clearly, sun does a real number, and, you know, I don't know what these women, in terms of their history of smoking or whatever, they clearly don't do it now. But is there a strong genetic predisposition toward this too?
Yes. And the difference is there's two things. One is that there is a biologic age and a chronologic age. So chronologically, they're all the same age, but biologically, they may be very different in age. And a lot of that biologic aging has to do with your genetics. But also lifestyle is a big component. So the second component is looking at that lifestyle component. When it comes to the skin aging, 90% of how your skin ages is lifestyle. So 90% of your skin aging is UV exposure. Yes, UV exposure, smoking, diet, and stress. So those are the main things. And you look at those three women, look at their skin tone and skin type. So you can have genetically not such great skin in terms of aging and wrinkling. If you protect that skin from the sun, it will age beautifully. But a little bit of sun may be much more than somebody else who has better genetics. So the same two people with the same amount of sun exposure may age differently. But both people, if they protect their skin from the sun, will age well.
Huh.
So your genetics is important, but it's going to change the amount. That's why when someone says, oh, you need 10 minutes of exposure without any sun protection to make vitamin D, it's silly because somebody who is very fair, they'll burn in that 10 minutes. It's not good for them. And someone who's very dark won't make enough vitamin D, won't do anything for them. So there really is no typical number. Plus, you get vitamin D from food sources and supplements better than from the sun. It's much more reliable. So I prefer that you not count on vitamin D as an excuse to go in the sun without protection. And then there was an article I read about.
I absolutely agree. I concur right and left. And actually, you know, we now have some evidence that as people age, and this really means into your 30s and 40s, it's not like when you're 90, there oftentimes is some difficulty there transitioning and transforming the sun into the active form of vitamin D. And so using the supplements is important, but I caution everyone, please get your vitamin D level determined. Many times doctors are not measuring that, and I think that's a huge mistake because vitamin D is such an important cofactor in so many very important processes in the human body. So get your vitamin D done and then SPF the heck out of yourself. Now, I want to pivot over to another interesting phenomenon that's been taking place, and that is a lot of women and men too, but we'll sort of look at the woman thing right now. Have maybe some acneiform scars, you know, on their face, and really want to kind of even things out, or they could have gotten a little bit of scarring from other things, but oftentimes it's from acne, and so they've been running out, trying to buy some of these new micro needling home kits and these rollers and back and forth, because there's been a lot of hype about that lately. I know for a fact that you use them in the office, but I want to clarify the difference between the two and what really goes on with this form of therapy for evening out scars.
Microneedling is a process where very small, very sharp and defined needles are used to make channels into the skin to stimulate collagen and also channels through which we can deliver antioxidants, growth factors, and other ingredients very carefully. Now, when we do it in the office, we use mostly devices that are either battery operated or electric, and we can choose the depth of the needle. So if it's a deeper scar, I can go deeper, or a younger, thicker skin, I can make it a deeper, down to even 3 millimeters, which is pretty deep, or I can go more superficial for a lighter microneedling treatment in areas in someone who has thinner skin or in more delicate areas, like along the temples or the forehead. And this is something that I'm very careful about. I clean the skin. It's done under very clean and careful procedures. And what I use with the skin is also something I would inject in the skin. So I know it's safe if it ends up in the skin. Now, when you do it at home, you're usually using a roller. The problem is that you can't sterilize it at home. So it's not a sterile roller. And once you use it one time, you're putting it down, who knows what conditions it's drying in. And then every time you put it back on the skin, if there's one dull needle, that dull needle is going to go over all your whole face and can scar your skin. If there's bacteria, that bacteria, you're now introducing it right into your skin. They can't make a deep enough one for home because you'll bleed. It'll be too painful because we do numbing in the office when we use it. So you couldn't do it at home and go deep enough to really have an impact or get product in. And there are studies showing that it doesn't really make the product penetrate any better with the home use needle depth. So basically, you're increasing your risk of infection, you're not adding any value, and you're potentially scarring your skin. So I'm not a fan of the home use needles, rollers that I've seen so far. I always reserve judgment and will wait to see what else comes out and the data that they have. But unless you know the exact brand, you really don't know the quality of the needle, you can't store it properly, and then the products that you put on afterwards may not be the best product. So if anything does end up in your skin, you can create what's called a granulomatous reaction, which is little bumps under the skin. And those can either be permanent or take, 3 to 6 to 9 months to clear. So none of those reasons, for all of those reasons, I don't recommend the home use microneedling rollers.
So, okay, well, wow. All right. That clarified that very nicely. So talk to us about scarring. When a woman comes into you and she says, I had a rough time in my teenage years and, here's the scarring and all the rest of it. How do you begin to approach that type of problem?
One thing I've learned from 20 years in practice in dermatology is that scars that look very minor and mild in women in their teens and 20s can look very deep as they hit their 40s and 50s. Because as we age, we lose collagen and elasticity, and the skin is bound down under the scar. So I've become much more interested in treating acne scars at a much younger age when women can naturally, and men can naturally, repair collagen with the different things, whether it's microneedling or it's E-Matrix, which is using sublative radio frequency or other devices that I have. And once you are a little bit older and those acne scars are now troubling, usually it's the cheeks and around the mouth that they're most troubling, we can do several things to help improve them. The newest thing that I'm very excited about is something called urothreads. Urothreads are a form of, they're like Sculptra. They're like something I use as an injectable. It's in the sugar family. It naturally dissolves all the time, over time, and it stimulates collagen. So what is nice is that I can pick the thread and the size of the thread and the length, and a needle helps insert that under the skin. So we do some topical numbing. Then I insert the thread under the scar, and not just under the scar, but in the area around the scar. And I can feel resistance where the collagen has been bound down and is not healthy and is pulling the skin down. And surprisingly, it's not always where you see the scar. Sometimes it's around it, but not right there. And then you see the scar improve pretty quickly. And because that thread stimulates collagen, that can help permanently or give a very long-lasting improvement of that scar and the skin itself. So I use those threads for acne scars and for those lip lines that we talked about, the lip wrinkles on the upper lip, and even to help lift the brow. So we're using more and more of these types of insertable, slowly dissolving threads. They're in the suture family, they're made of the same ingredients as absorbable stitches. So we're placing them. They're slightly different forms, and we're placing them very specifically to help stimulate collagen and restore the skin. And that combined with other treatments, whether it's lasers or microneedling or other devices and treatments that we have, can really both help improve the scar and help improve the quality of the skin.
How fascinating. I mean, it's really nice to know the technology is moving along so well with this. I'm sure there are boatloads of women out there going, thank God someone's thinking about us. But there it is. I mean, seriously. Hey, you know, I was asked by one of our listeners whether or not taking collagen supplements, you know, there are many supplements out there where it is noted that if you take the collagen supplement oft times with, say, for instance, biotin, whatever, you know, so you're really looking at your hair, your nails, and your skin, and that the collagen taken in an absorbable way will be able to help you, certainly with the hair and with the nails. What about skin? Or is collagen basically only good for that direct injection, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, there's unfortunately not as much data as I would like. When I get asked this question, I usually say that I'm waiting for more data. It may be real, and I'm encouraged by what I've seen. So I tell people if it's not too expensive and you're not having side effects, then I don't see any reason not to try it. But I haven't seen any good studies that show that it works. I do think that the drinkable collagens are better than the pills. So if you're going to do it, then get one of the like Liquid Biosil or Skin Aid. There's some of them that I think are better than others and seem to be sourced better. But there's probably a lot of brands out there that are also quite good that I just don't know about. And then, you know, when you mentioned hair and biotin, I don't think there's enough data even for biotin and hair. I've looked, and I think it's kind of limited how much biotin really helps hair. I like PRP for hair, platelet-rich plasma injections. There's two supplements, Viviscal and Nutrafol, that I think are good, and sometimes I have my patients take it together. I do a lot with hair restoration, but that's non-surgical for men and women, and there's a lot that you can do to help regrow hair as long as there's no scarring. And the earlier you do it, obviously, the better, but you can get pretty good results these days. But
you're saying, well, right off the bat, then when someone comes in, it's a woman who started to have, say, for instance, some issues with her hair. So what's the algorithm you follow? Do you automatically put them on supplements? Do you go directly to PRP?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends. So we have to look and see the pattern of hair loss, whether or not they're scarring, what their other medical issues are. But assuming they're otherwise healthy and it's a female pattern, let's say in a woman, then we can see how motivated they are. So I always try to optimize your health generally. So supplements and talking about diet will help optimize your health generally. And that's really important because like vitamin D that we're talking about is very important for hair growth. So Nutrafol has vitamin D in it. I make sure that they're clear on the importance of diet for hair growth and for supporting nutritionally what the scalp needs to help support hair growth. The next thing is topicals. So minoxidil is FDA-approved topically. It's available in Rogaine over-the-counter or generic. The 5% foam is now FDA-approved for women. Once a day is all they need. And so that's, to me, a very straightforward thing to do, but some people don't like the formulation. So there are other ones. I carry one that's a little different, that's not quite as greasy. Isdin, ISDIN, is a brand that I like that makes one that you can get from your dermatologist that's a spray that's a slightly different molecule that also helps grow hair. Julian Farrell Restore Shampoo is fantastic for hair loss. It really supports the scalp and the hair. It has resveratrol.
No, what is that one again? I want to make sure everyone heard that. You said Julian, go ahead.
Julian Farrell Restore Shampoo. You put it in before you go in the shower and then you shampoo it out in the shower. Your hair will feel better even after just one use, but it really helps what the other things that we do to help grow hair. And that's a great product. There, PRP is the next thing. So it's not always where I start, but I find that it does help. I do PRP combined with an in-office hair laser that's called Fetona Hair Lase. So I do that on the scalp first, and then I do the PRP injection. So PRP is platelet-rich plasma. We take blood, we spin it down, throw away the red blood cells, white blood cells, because those are pro-inflammatory. We don't want those. And we're left with platelet-rich growth factors, which we then inject back. And there are ways to inject it back where it really is quite pleasant. It's not particularly painful, and you can go right back on with your day afterwards. So I have found that combination of supplements, the hair laser, the injections, and even a home hair growth laser that you can do. I like Theradome or Laser Cap. Those are two good ones that you can add in, depending on how motivated you are. And so that combination in most people will help preserve what they have and regrow hair. So it's just the problem right now is that we have to keep doing these things in order to maintain the results. But there's so much research going on in hair that I believe that in the next 5 years, we'll be able to clone hair or have stem cells. And from one hair, we'll be able to make 10,000. And everybody can have too much hair and be really, really happy. So until we get there, these are the things that we have. But that is coming. So people with hair loss should really have hope because the research has been going on so long and they're getting closer and closer really by the minute, by the day, by the year.
So the final piece on this, the stem cell issue is so exciting. We're seeing this pop up everywhere for orthopedic needs and, you know, back and forth.
Right.
So, but we're still too early with hair, right? And that would involve injections
for
like the PRP.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm waiting for that final study that shows that we can take hair and regrow it endlessly. For now, we just have to do, and a lot of what they're doing is really PRP, and they just add some things into it. It's really a variation on the same theme. But we are getting better and better at it in terms of having longer lasting or even permanent results. So for now, everything is ongoing. But the good news is that if you do it ongoing, you'll keep getting results. So that's encouraging.
How often are you repeating the PRP with your patients?
Once a month for 4 months, and then for maintenance, once every 4 months.
Aha. Okay, fine. And who knows what it's going to be with stem cells, because that's all up in the air.
So exciting.
So this is really exciting. Good grief. And it's nice just to understand how you think about this, because I know so many women out there are, you know, needless to say, freaking out about thinning hair. Is there an age, you know, you mentioned that a moment ago, is there an age at which maybe it's too late, or is it always sort of an open situation?
Well, the longer the hair is gone, the harder it is to restore it. So the earlier that you can address it, the better. But it's really a conversation between you and your dermatologist to take a look and to assess and evaluate your scalp, your hair, how much it's affecting you. You know, in my book, Beyond Beautiful, I have a whole section on hair and the emotional side of it, the emotional aspects of it that can accelerate and drive hair loss. We talk a lot about how stress affects how we age, how we lose hair, all of these different things. But stress is a very generic term. And I try to break it down into specific types of stressors that you can help identify, because ultimately appearance has value. It tells the world about your overall health and well-being. And when you understand that connection yourself, then you can make other changes and not just look better, but actually be better and be happier and make better life choices. And that's ultimately the value of appearance, right? The value is that your life should be better, not just that you have better hair, because who cares really, right? The point is that you should be happier and more fulfilled in your life. So I work through appearance to help my patients become healthier, happier, more fulfilled people. And I try to help make that connection between what they see in themselves, what is happening, and what it means, so that they can make real life changes besides the things that I can do for them. And that connection gives not only longer lasting results, but also healthier, happier people.
I love it. I just want to make sure everyone out there knows we're talking to Dr. Doris Day, who is our fabulous go-to dermatologist. Her book is Forget the Facelift, Turn Back the Clock with Dr. Day's revolutionary four-step program for ageless skin. And her website is myclearskin.com, myclearskin.com. Oh, Dr. Day, this has just been once again a fabulous session. You know, our episodes with you are just populated by people taking notes furiously as they're trying to figure out what to do with everything from wrinkles to scarring to microneedling to God knows what. And of course, hair is always a big one. I just can't thank you enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being on the Herb Podcast once again.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. And everyone out there, right now, take a moment and hit iTunes. Rate and review this episode. We're sitting here just waiting. We want to be able to hear your feedback. And hey, how cool was this? What did you learn? Did you love it? I know you did. Oh boy, I just love having Dr. Day on for one of our episodes. All right, now, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today and stay well.